Blog Talk Radio.
Hottest topics.
Hottest music.
And the hottest ladies. You're listening to The Girlfriend Network,
where women stay connected, with your host, Nick Holmes.
Tahira
and Karishma on the Love Zone USA.
On the Love Zone USA.
On the Love Zone USA.
Happy Monday, everyone, and welcome to the Girlfriend Network right here on the Love Zone USA. We have a wonderful and exciting topic this evening. We are talking about, of course, love, but specifically great partner, bad lover. This is a question that hopefully some of you audience members have some questions. Feel free to call us, join us, follow us on Twitter at The Love Zone USA, on Instagram at The Love Zone USA. And, of course, the host is never just one. Tahira, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Really
wonderful.
Excited about this topic. Yes,
yes,
great
yes.
Partner, bad lover. What a combination. And I can't wait to speak to Dr. Greer about it so she can give us some insight on this.
Yes, it's going to be great. Is Nicole with us tonight?
I'm here. Hello, ladies.
Oh, there she is. That's what I was like. I wanted to say, I want to introduce Nicole, but I didn't hear her. There she is. Welcome the two lovely ladies that are going to make this topic so much more fun and exciting. Have you ever experienced this?
Do you want to start, Nicole, or me?
Yeah, I mean, we probably all have at some point in our lives, right? You know, but I absolutely have. Great guy. Oh, man, great guy, you know, outside the bedroom. Once in the bedroom, I'm just like, just keep your clothes on. Like,
it wasn't like that it was bad. Great guy, great conversation, great dude. But then it still is a talker in the bedroom, too.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay, like, this is what I have to ask you. From what I've been doing with my research, it seems as though that, you know, most people say that when they do find their great guy, great partner, the reason it's not so wonderful in the bedroom is because they've kind of, they don't look at them in that way to begin with. It's kind of more of like a friend zone, like, oh, you're a wonderful person, but you're more like a family member, like a really good friend. Like, I'm not attracted to you in that way at all. So it even starts before they even get to the bedroom. Do you think that has some truth to it?
No, I don't think about my family member. I think it's just, for me, it's just like sometimes you match make personality-wise, but not when it comes sexually. So you may have like maybe that physical attraction, but when you take it that, when you get the kiss, it's like, this is weird. So I think it's so important. You know, I'm all about honesty. When that happens, to be honest about it. We hit it off as friends, but when it comes to the other stuff, it gets confusing or we're just not hitting it off. So just being really, really honest when that does happen, because with different people in the world, that will happen. Like, for me, it wasn't like I did not hit it off with him. It just, when that time came, he just, the personality of the talking and engaging conversation kept going, and it didn't stop. So that made it annoying. So I was just like, I was attracted to you, now I'm not.
Right. So it was like annoying traits that like weren't outside the bedroom but only in the bedroom.
No, it was annoying because outside in the bedroom, like you said, it was great. But then because he put that same personality into the bedroom where he went, because I was at the point where I was just like, okay, we're having fun and we've been dating. Now let's take the relationship to the next level. Little did I know that he likes to discuss everything before he does it. Oh, what do you think about that? You know, like, he's really a talker. To the point where I had to say, shut up. Like, I had to be, so then he felt that I was aggressive because I was just like, shut up, stop talking, because it wasn't the time to have a long-winded conversation. Well, that was my experience. Nicole, what about you?
Well, fortunately for me, he was not a talker, but it was just one of those things, I guess. I just became less and less attracted to him, and I tried to force myself because he was that great individual on paper. He did everything that I wanted him to do. You know, as far as open car doors, he definitely was the man of the relationship. I like a man who takes charge and is authoritative, mm-hmm. you know. So he was always there for me at every turn. But I don't know, guys. Once we got in the bedroom, I just was not feeling it. It was, I guess, kind of like what Sierra was saying, or, you know, even you, Karishma, more like of a buddy thing. And mm-hmm. I even found that I was not even attracted to his body. So it was just like, this is how crazy this was. He really dressed well. And when he was dressed, I was so attracted to him because, you know, he smelled good, looked good, you know, shoes matched the belt type of thing. He was muscular.
Yeah.
But once he took the clothes off, I was just like, I just couldn't get into him that way. But, you know, every other way I could, you know, and eventually we fell apart. But I didn't even like to kiss him. And one thing that he told me, and this is really funny, and it was nothing against him personally. It's just something that I've done over the years because, well, my family, we're huggers and we kiss each other. And in my family, if you don't kiss another family member, especially an elder, it's disrespectful. And we hug.
Mm-hmm.
But being in the industry and sometimes being around perverted people, when I hug people now, it is a defense mechanism where I do not put my pelvis on their pelvis. You know what I mean? I kind of thrust my hips out. You know, I jet my butt out. So I'm not having any contact with them in the lower section. And I did that with him. And he really took it personal. And he was like, why do you hug me like this? Like I'm a fan or, you know, he was like, I'm your man. You hug me like I'm some stranger. And I tried to tell him, it's not you. It's just something that I've done that's like habit. And, you know, I just don't allow myself to get close, you know, to people when we hug just because of some situations that I've had in the past where men take things too far. So that was kind of like the beginning of our demise. And then he turned it into, you're not really attracted to me, you know. And, you know, the other thing too, guys, I didn't like to kiss him. I love to kiss. I could kiss and kiss, but if you can't kiss, I'm just like, no, because to me that starts the fire, you know, that gets it going. So I didn't want to kiss him either, so that caused the problem. So
me, you have to like earn the kiss. So I'm not gonna go jump in by kissing you. You would have to like, you know, make me feel like, oh, this is why I should be kissing you. But with this guy, man, he had a motor on his mouth at the time where we're like,
wait a minute.
And I just felt like for me, okay, we had a great time. This is like, we've been out on a lot of dates, no action, nothing. We've really dated. And I said, you know, I want to date you before we jump into anything. Because I had just gotten out of a relationship. So it wasn't, we were attracted to each other, but we really wanted to date to see if we like each other. I was at the point where, okay, we dated, we like each other, now we're going to take it to the next step. But he wanted to discuss, how does that feel?
That was my question. Is he discussing the daily, you know, news
like
or is
everything
he
that
telling
he
you what
did,
he's going
like,
to do sexually?
Like, okay, so he put his hand on my shoulder, and I'm just like, okay, I'm very relaxed. Oh, so it's like, how does that feel? Does that feel good? Should I do it? And I'm like, I don't want to discuss it. I want us to be in action at this point.
Right.
And then he's like he would stop and say, is everything okay? And I'm like, shut up. Don't talk.
Right.
Like, I totally took control. Shut up. Don't talk. And he said, well, I felt that you're angry. And then he felt that I wanted to role play. But it was bad.
Jeez.
It was just horrible. He's like, I understand. Like, our signals at that point was just horrible. He's like, oh, I understand now you want to be, you know, aggressive and want me to be passive. So now you want to role play. No, I just want you to shut up and not talk and kiss me. Like, I just don't want you to talk anymore right now. So he got really offended. He was just like, I didn't know you were so, it just like, it turned into like an argument, and we weren't speaking to each other. It was just bad, because he was like, I didn't know when you wanted to role play. And I'm like, who was role playing? I just tell you to shut up. I don't want to talk anymore. Now we're in the moment. Like, I don't want to have a detailed conversation. I just want us to, you know, enjoy each other. He wanted to discuss everything. So it was a nightmare. It really, because he felt that I wanted to role play, that I was being aggressive. And I'm like, no, I'm not being aggressive. I just think we should, you know, change the mood. Like, I don't want to talk about everything. It's okay for you to say, like, oh, how does that feel? Does that feel nice? But to really want to discuss it, oh, should I do like this? Or should I put it here? Like, how does that feel? Like, and I'm just like, why are we going through all this? Just kiss me. And if it doesn't work out, I'm going to tell you I don't like the way you're kissing me. You know, it was just, it was so bad. It was just like the worst ever for me.
Wow.
So he is better as a friend, but being romantic and, you know, getting intimate is definitely a no-no. I told him, I was just like, you should tell anyone that you decide to date that you are a talker, and you are a talker in the bedroom. That totally turned me off. It totally turned me off. I was just like literally like, what is wrong with you? And he was just like, no, I just want you to feel good. We'll get to the point where, you know, we're making sure everyone is okay. Like, I just don't need to discuss. Or he'll say this, is it okay if I do this? He'll ask, like, for permission for everything. How does that feel? Is it okay? And I'm just like, this is, like, one of the worst experiences of my life. And then when I began to get aggressive, he's like, oh, you want to role play? I'm just like, well, where am I? Are we on the same page? It was just a nightmare. So I definitely understand how people, like, for me, he was better as a friend, someone to discuss events with, someone to go out and have coffee with, but definitely not someone to take it a step further. That was my experience.
And Karishma, what about you? What have your experiences been like? You've ever been in that, you know, situation where maybe they were in the friend zone, wanted to take it further, but you were like, everything was perfect, but you just didn't want to go there.
Well, I think for me, I'm in the different boat, because since I'm waiting till I'm married, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, I kind of know with the attraction, and then it's like in the beginning when we start, I think the kiss is very important. I think that's when you can really tell whether you have an intimate connection or whether it's going to be able to take that step further. But I also do believe that if it's something super strong, that there has to be some way you can work through it if you want to. But I think it's very easy in different parts of the relationship for the attraction to kind of fade. Because I've had times where I thought, like, oh, I think this person's really cute and I want to date them and I want to, like, you know, maybe get more serious with them. And then it just kind of fizzles from some place or the other. So I think from my perspective, it's almost kind of, it's a little bit scary because it's like, that's the part that I'm not going to know. But I feel like a kiss can tell you a lot. So I feel like that is that first key, because if you can flow there and kind of, even though sometimes, you know, first kisses can be kind of awkward. Like when it's someone new and you just are trying to feel each other's vibe, I feel like it depends on how you both react and how you get into the vibe of each other. And then if you do get into it and you start smooth sailing, it's like, okay, we can work together to make sure that this goes smoothly in the future. And you're kind of just developing off each other's connection. You know?
Right. Yes.
I definitely agree. I'm with you, Nicole, and I think kisses are very, very important.
Yes.
And
you're right.
But I'm opposite. I don't kiss. Like, I don't. You have to earn the kiss with me. I'm completely opposite. We can talk and we can be like, I just feel like, for me, kissing is very intimate. So you'd have to earn that, like, that kiss. We would have to work up to that kiss.
Yeah.
But it's almost like, you know, it's like you have those different kisses, like a kiss where you really care about someone, or just like a kiss that's not really anything, or there's no spark. You know, it's like a kiss can tell you so much. I agree with you here. I think kissing is very intimate, and it should be, you know, it should be done with someone that you really care about. But I think there's those different, you know, kisses where it's like, oh, I just kissed someone because, you know, they happened to kiss me or I happened to kiss them, and it was like a whatever kiss, but
right.
I think, you know, when you really, I don't know, I'm totally with you, Nicole. I completely agree with
I do like the kiss, because the kiss to me tells me a lot about the guy, whether
mm-hmm.
he's passionate, whether
mm-hmm.
He's caring, if he could be romantic, his experience.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you find a lot of experience behind a kiss. Like if a guy comes and he kisses you and it's sloppy and spitty, it's like, oh, I'm done. Like, because if you can't kiss me, you know, I guess romantically, passionately, whatever you're looking for, you certainly are not going to be able to lay it down, like, in the bedroom. To me, you're going to be sloppy there as well. But if I get a guy
mm-hmm.
that kisses me and my toes are tingling and I'm just, like, to the moon, then I'm like, yeah, baby, we can, you know, we can get it popping. So I've definitely had those experiences. Because a kiss will either turn me on or turn me off. You know.
Okay. So one side note, ladies, I got a little bit distracted. I have been focused on this topic, but has anyone been seeing pictures of the Met Gala? I've just been, they keep popping up
yes.
all over on my phone, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, did you see J-Lo and A-Rod?
I haven't seen that. I saw the, well, no, that was in the Met Gala. The Beyonce picture, or that's the African-American.
No,
yeah,
I haven't,
keep
no, I haven't
popping
seen
up, and everyone should go look at Rihanna because she looks, she's just slaying all day, forever and
all
ever.
All the time.
But all the time. She's just too.
Yes.
But okay, sorry, ladies. Back to the topic because I've just been getting distracted. I was like, hold on, because I'm just getting, my phone is blowing up. But I do have one question. Do you think that, has it ever gotten to that point where you think that there are couples out there that, you know, they get to the situation and it's, everything is great and they're not able to connect there. Do you think that it's something they can definitely work through, or it would just take a lot of work from each other's ends? Or do you think that it's kind of a deal breaker?
Deal breaker for me.
I think some couples that love each other, customers, what am I talking about? I'm totally on another topic here. Oh my goodness. So this Liberty Creek is really getting to me. Oh my goodness. So let me take it back. Oh, no, I'm, and I do apologize, guys. I have a sinus headache, so I'm trying to work through it right now. It's just so awful with sinuses right now. But I feel like if you really love, like if you've been in a relationship for a long time and things are just, you know, you get to that point where it's not the way it used to be, then that's promising of working it out and working, you know, find out where you really dropped the ball. But if it's a brand new situation and relationship and you just don't mesh, you're not
mm-hmm.
seeing the chemistry in that area, but you're cool in other areas, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think, you know,
mm-hmm.
when you meet different people, sometimes you mess, and sometimes you get along in certain areas and you just don't. And the good thing about it is like, oh, now that we know that, we're better as friends opposed to being lovers. So you would definitely be a good, one of the best candidates for my friend, being a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I can be a friend to you. But, I mean, if it's just brand new, who cares? Like, you know that it just doesn't work. But if it's like a long-term relationship and it just fades, then that's where it's like worth really, you know, working on and making it better. Because sometimes that does happen when you've been with the person for so long. And there's other factors, it could be like kids and things like that. Those are the times
mm-hmm.
that you would want to work on it and make it better.
No, definitely, Tina. You know what? I like what you said. I like that you used the word mesh, because it's not necessarily that, you know, someone is bad or someone is great. It's just that those two people don't connect, right? Because it's like they may be great to somebody else, but it's just not those two people who are able to connect in that way.
So
yeah.
Let's get into, before we get into the next question, let's get into our song, Chris Brown, Sex You Back to Sleep, and then we'll come on with Dr. Greer, and she'll help us with some of these answers here, right here on the Girlfriend Network.
I know it's late, baby. just holding my landing. Wondering if the same old understanding stands. I know you got work pretty early. I'll be around by 3:30. Usually it's done by 1. So baby, when I wake you up, just let me ride.
And welcome back to the Girlfriend Network. I'm your host, Sierra Sutton, and we have a great topic this evening. Ladies, are you here?
Here.
Hello.
Okay. I'm here.
Okay. So we're getting back to our topic here, and I just want to take a moment just to welcome in Dr. Greer. Dr. Greer, how are you this evening?
I'm good. Thank you for having me as a guest on your program.
Thank you.
Hi,
for
Dr. Green. Welcome. Yes.
Okay. Karishma, you're going to start?
Yes. Dr. Greer, so when it comes to, you know, this topic of great partner, you know, bad in the bedroom, what has been, you know, kind of your experience with it in terms of what you've kind of seen professionally, what you've dealt with? Have you heard a lot of complaints in this department? Is it a common problem?
Yeah. It's a very common problem because people pair up and have compatibility in lots of ways for dealing with life and having fun together and doing things together and, you know, starting families and doing all kinds of things. However, in the bedroom, the syncing up that one would expect to happen naturally isn't always so easy or so natural. And being able to communicate and let your partner know what you really do like as opposed to what you don't like, and, you know, experiencing your partner as really tuned into you doesn't always happen. So a lot of times people wind up really disappointed with who their, quote, lover is, and unhappy and frustrated and ultimately then angry about it. And, you know, once the anger starts to seep in, it and, you know, feeling badly or feeling rejected, it can really cause a great divide between two people.
So
you see that,
Dr. Greer, we do that a lot, Dr. Greer, because we're just very excited and we always chime in at the same
That's
time.
Okay. That's okay. I'm here.
Go ahead, Carissa.
Oh, go ahead.
Finish your thought.
Okay. Okay. I wanted to just do a follow up to my question now. Since, you know, it's one of those problems that it starts in the bedroom and it kind of sinks into different parts of the relationship, how do people come out of it? It's say, you know, they've been in a long-term committed relationship and maybe they let it slide for a while and now, you know, the resentment has built up. It's, you know, slipping into other parts of their relationship and they're kind of starting to destruct. I know on the Girlfriend Network here, we always say that communication is the key. Communication is the answer for everything. When they start to communicate, can that help it? Or is it more them communicating to realize that maybe they're not meant to be together?
Well, communication can really clear away a lot of the debris that gets in the way and interferes with being able to please your partner. And it can really, pleasing your partner, it can start in the bedroom through inexperience or just bad technique or thinking mm-hmm. that what you're doing is turning your partner on when in fact it could be having the exact opposite effect and turning them off. But it's so much more complex because a lot of times the negativity or the resentment because your husband didn't wash the dishes or your wife forgot to, you know, or your partner forgot to pick up your clothes at the dry cleaner, or they were supposed to bring home something that you were looking forward to make a recipe and they completely forgot that. A million little things can happen that can create frustration and annoyance at your partner. And then by the time you're in the bedroom, the last thing you want to do is please them. You're just so annoyed with them, you know? So
there's
that variable. And then you factor in people have different appetites. You want to go for dinner now? Well, I'm not really hungry. Oh, but I'm starving, but I had a late lunch. Well, that's what goes on. Sexually, one person is raring and ready to go, and the other person would be fine like 5 days from now. I'm exhausted, and I had a busy work, and I have a meeting tomorrow, and I have a whole problem with one of my colleagues, and the last thing they've got on their mind is sex. So factor that into the equation, and there's all of that can lead to combustion. You get into bed and you think, my God, my partner is the worst lover in the world. And maybe it's technique, but maybe they're pissed off at you for something that you did or didn't do, or maybe they're just not in the mood, which has nothing to do with you. But all of that can create bad feeling, confusion, people feeling rejected, and ultimately lead to a sex life becoming derailed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nicole, did you want to go first before I ask my question?
I was just going to say, I definitely get that. I definitely get that, and I've been there, and I am the type of individual that if I'm mad at my partner, we're not having sex at all. Like, you're not touching me.
My question to you and Dr. Greer as well, this is Tahira, and I'm sorry, I'm trying to get over this cold. Now, it's important.
Sorry you have it.
Yeah, I'm trying to work through it. It is important for us to be honest with ourselves. And you, like, even when what I try, like, in my relationship that's been really, really successful with us for years is that even though we're mad and upset, we never allow that to enter our bedroom. So how do you – and I'm sorry, Nicole, for just jumping in, but – for me, is that something that you would suggest for, like, no matter what happens, you know, how do you stop it from spilling over? Because what Nicole is saying, I hear that a lot from friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's great if you as a couple can say, all right, no matter what, no matter how angry we are, we will always connect sexually and physically despite and in spite of whatever's going on, with the understanding that you will reconcile and work out whatever the difficulties are at another point. That's wonderful. Okay. But many people can't do that. Many people get so distraught and so distressed and so tied up emotionally when they feel misunderstood or are angry, that
sure.
unless they talk it out or work it out, they certainly can't physically engage because they're just too
right.
upset. And so
oh.
what I say to couples
yeah.
then is
that's right.
what you want to do is, because a lot of times one person is exhausted, they don't have the stamina to resolve it at the moment. And I say, look, I say, hit the hold button. Say, look, we both want to resolve this. The most important thing is to know that you and trust that you have the dedication and both of you are committed to getting through the difficulties. So say, let's go to sleep. We agree to disagree. We're upset. I'm mad at you, but we'll put it aside. And we'll talk about it Saturday, or we'll talk about it Friday afternoon, and plan a time where you can work with her. You know, a lot of times couples are out, and the most innocuous thing can lead to one person becoming really furious with the other. You're going out to dinner with friends, and somebody out of the blue says something hostile or cutting, or really, you wore that dress, or, you know, like, oh, you liked your hair. I mean, really something stupid, or that was a dumb thing to say. And the next thing you know, you're ready to go to war with your partner, but you can't do that when you're out with people. You really have to be able to shoulder it and put it aside and talk about it and go through the night and enjoy yourself and talk about it later on. And so that becomes a coping measure, that if you develop it and develop the trust and the foundation that, you know what, I'm mad at you, but I know that we're going to talk about it, we're going to work it out, and you're going to relate to me and we'll resolve it, and this won't happen again. That gives you the resilience to then be able to go on to make love and have a nice intimacy in the next period of time together.
Agree.
Okay. That brings a better understanding, like, for me, because I didn't know, like, you know, because I have a lot of friends that says, oh, if I'm upset because he didn't wash the dishes or take the garbage out, it affects our sex life. And I said, well, I just have, for me, it's the complete opposite. If we have issues, the thing that is positive in our relationship would be the sex life. And sometimes being that we, you know, because you don't agree in relationships all the time, being that the sex life is so great, it kind of outweighs, we're like, why were we mad? We just come to this crazy, like, we come to a minimum where we understand that, you know, we're never going to be that angry to where we're going to sleep, like going to sleep mad at each other. But I know it's important, even with sex, to be honest, when you hit that point where sometimes you're exhausted, you know, life changes and you're exhausted. You have to, I think if you're honest enough to yourself to say, hey, I'm exhausted, but let's have a date night. Do you make, you know, would you think that would be a suggestion? Like you recognize, hey, I haven't been really spending time in this area. I made a note of when are you off so we can plan a date night?
The most important thing, that's a great tactic, because the most important thing in the whole world when it comes to sex with your partner is to make sure that they are not feeling rejected or undesired by you. And the littlest thing, if you say I'm not in the mood or I don't want to have sex without qualifying it, it's got nothing to do with you. You're beautiful. I love you. It's got nothing to do with you. You're handsome and sexy. I'm in a lousy mood. I'm exhausted. I'm depleted. Catch me on Saturday. You know, it's like being in a bad mood. If you say to your partner, don't take anything I'm saying right now personally. I'm in a terrible mood, and you know, you're whining and you're negative and you're curt or maybe you're insulting. As long as you qualify it with don't take this personally, they can let it roll off their shoulders. But if you come in a snort, you know, in a snotty, nasty, short tone, you take that tone and you don't qualify it, they're going to feel rejected. They're going to feel like they did something wrong. And when it comes to sex, it's 1,000 times more intense than that. So I always say, let your partner know, this isn't about you. You know, this is where I'm at. And you're still really, you know, you're still really turning me on, but I'm turned off right now. It's got nothing to do with
that's
you.
That is a great point, and I can attest to that because my boyfriend is an entrepreneur. He works sun up to sundown. He owns his own business. He gets aggravated a lot throughout the day. You know, he's always tired. A lot of times that tiredness turns into grumpiness, and we don't live together, but he spends many nights here. He comes home to me. And there are times when he will say to me, look, I'm not coming tonight. I'm in a bad space. It has nothing to do with you. My energy is bad, and I don't want to reflect that on you and bring you into a different, you know, place. And I really appreciate that, and I respect that. And I give him his space, and he always comes back immediately versus him coming over here, you know what I mean, being grumpy.
Absolutely.
And now me being pissed off because you're pissed off, and I don't know why you're pissed off.
Exactly. He'll say something snotty or offensive or hurtful to upset you, and then you'll say, what the hell are you doing here? Get out of here. But, you know, before you girls were saying about, you know, the buffering it with, you know, the sex is so great so I can overlook the stuff you do that makes me mad. So my book is called What About Me? Stop Selfishness from Ruining Your Relationship. And in it, I have what I call love you mean it, hate you mean it moments. And the truth of the matter is, in any relationship on any given day, just think about, take inventory of how many times you go, I hate him. I hate you. I hate you.
Right.
What am I doing with you? Right? Mm-hmm. And then take inventory of how many times you're like, oh my God,
I love you.
I love you. You are so, oh, you're so wonderful. And what we strive for is that rather than saying, I'm never going to hate you because we get angry, what am I doing with this idiot? Rather than thinking you're not supposed to have the hate you mean it moments, that the love you mean it moments, like you were saying before about the sex, it's so good, it helps to buffer the hate you mean it moments. And there are lots of ways to pull them. You can pull on them from sexual, or you can pull on them from he just said something so thoughtful or was so empathic and understanding when you were so disappointed, or, you know, helped you out where you were really like up against the wall, or did something wonderful for your kid and you're like, God, I love him. And those are the moments, those love you mean it moments, that as you get angry and can balance it, it helps you to keep your anger in check so that you're not just building up a bank roll of resentment and you know, frustration.
Absolutely. I think that was perfect when you said how it helps, because relationships are hard. And I hate,
yes.
Well, not hate, but hate is such a strong word. When people present a relationship as everything happy all the time, no ups and downs, we're just going to be gravy, everything is going to be perfect, and we're just going to be happy.
Yeah,
it is important that you do argue, healthy arguments, because you're not going to always agree in your partner. And when I said that, you know, we understand as a couple that we have our, you know, sexuality with each other and the passion that we have together is one of our assets in our relationships. So when we don't see eye to eye, we don't jump in the bed, but it puts us in like a neutral space where I can kind of like calm down and draw back from what he's saying, because I may be like just focused on my needs at that point and not his needs. And when we think about the argument after, it's like, what are we arguing? It's so like, what are we arguing about? I see your point. You see my point. We're in this together, so we're just going to get through this. So it's just for us that is what works. But it is important, I think, to be honest, even when you're not being satisfied, or not that he's a bad partner, but it's changed, to be honest with yourself and then say, hey, you know, like not just a date night, you know, our sex has changed. Let's do something different. Let's do something out of the norm to kind of get that, where, you know, that feeling back where we were at that point. So it is important for ourselves. Like, I know we always talk about honesty, but I'm all for being honest with myself. If I'm not being satisfied, I'm definitely going to say, hey, you know, something's going on. I don't feel it like I used to. Let's revisit this situation and see how we can make it better. And it could be like, you know, this world is busy. I'm working. I'm not even thinking about that right now. I'm just on this mode where I just want to hit my gold and that's it. So don't you feel like, I know we talked about doing an inventory, but it's a self-assessment as well, where you have to be honest with yourself.
Right. I think that's really important. And then once you take inventory with yourself, if you're unhappy or wanting more foreplay or wanting a different tempo or wanting something a little bit more innovative or new, it's really important that you present it in a way that is not, I'm bored, or this isn't working for me, or what's wrong, because your partner will take that personally and start to feel like they're a bad lover. And to be able to present it in terms of, you know, I was thinking, how would it be if we tried this? Or I was thinking, what could really turn me on would be if you tried this. So that it's all about adding, as opposed to what you've got isn't good enough. And that makes all the difference in the world, so that your partner feels, ah, I can do this and make her even happier, or make him even happier, as opposed to what I'm doing isn't good enough.
Yes, good point.
Yeah, I mean, that makes all the difference in the world, because everybody has their sexual esteem and everybody wants to feel like they're a good lover. And there is, it's sort of like the most fragile ground to walk on, that you are not pleasing your partner or not a good enough lover in bed. And sometimes it's just a matter of taste and preference. You know, one person likes dressing up and the other person is completely turned off by it.
Right.
But, you know, if you're not finding that middle ground, then one person feels, you know, well, you're not really satisfying me. And the other person is sort of out of their taste. It's like going to dinner. If you don't eat spinach or broccoli or Brussels sprouts, and your partner's like, but I love that.
Mm-hmm.
How do you bridge that so that they don't take it personally and you're not a good companion?
Yeah, that's true. And it's funny with me, Dr. Greer, and ladies, I always feel guilty because I feel like I'm the lazy one in the relationship, because I'm at work and, you know, I like to fantasize and I'm just thinking about, oh, when he comes home tonight, I'm just going to be on and popping. And by the time he gets to me, I'm like, all I'm thinking about is sleep. But it works for us because he's exhausted, I'm exhausted. So the joke is, and my boyfriend is a comedian, and a lot of times I even have group chats with his friends. So he'll say to them, well, you know, in my mind last night, I was going to bang the hell out of her, but it just didn't work out because, you know, we were just so exhausted. Like, we're madly attracted to each other. And a lot of times we go to bed and I come to bed very happy and excited because I'm like, it's about to be on and popping. And my safe haven is laying my head on his chest. But let me tell you, lady, like, within 2 minutes, I'm out. And he, you know, is right there with me. So there's no hard feelings, but we always laugh because we're like, what happened? Like, what happened, you know?
And so I think that's really important because that happens for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, life is extremely overwhelming and busy and hectic and exhausting. And there's a thousand things that people need to tend to on any given day. And think about it. When you meet somebody and are first launching a relationship and falling in love, everybody and everything is irrelevant. So there's always time. You don't care if you do your laundry. You don't care if you call your friends. You don't care if you see your family.
That's the truth.
Everything is incidental. And all you care about is seeing each other and talking to each other and having sex and, you know, and making love. So there's plenty of time for it. It's a thrill. It's new. It's all of that. And then life kicks back into normal gear out of fifth gear. And so the important thing when I tell this to a lot of couples that I work with is, expectations realistic. Your fantasy may be that you want to have sex every night, but the reality is you may be having sex once a week. And as you're both comfortable with that and nobody's feeling deprived or, you know, cheated out of intimacy, that works. And more importantly, you don't want to find yourself like you were describing, that you fall asleep, you both think you're going to have hot and heavy sex, and you're both out like in, you know, a nanosecond. You don't want to feel like, uh-oh, what's wrong with us? What's wrong with me? How come we're not having sex? You want to keep your expectations realistic that, of course, if it was a perfect world and you were like, you know, unencumbered by all the responsibilities and chores and tasks of daily living, and you're on vacation, maybe you'd have sex every day. But that's not everyday living. And so given that, if you can find your rhythm, maybe it's Maybe it's, you know, three times a week. Maybe it's once a week. Maybe it's once a month. Whatever your rhythm is, as long as it works for both of you and you're both okay with it, there you have it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Dr. Greer, I don't know why my relationship and as a couple were just so, I'm the complete opposite. If I'm extremely tired and he's had a long day, the first thing I'll do is run to the bedroom and, you know, get all sexy so we can get it out the way. And, you know, because I know how important that is. So I'm dead tired, dog tired, but it's just, for me, it's the complete opposite. I don't want to have any missing components.
So, but when you say you know how that important it is, for you or for him or for both of you?
I think the both of us.
Because when you say get it out of the way.
Because we're both exhausted. We both have, we project our weeks. Because we have more than, I have more than one job, and we can get very, very busy. So I won't lose, I'll lose time, I'll lose sleep, but what I won't lose is that pattern and that rhythm. So when
but you want to ask yourself, and I say this to a lot of people, because it sounds like it's really important to maintain a sexual connection, and for you on a quantitative level, meaning how often you're having the sex. Mm-hmm. My only question is when people are getting things out of the way, they're approaching it and going about it with a different investment, sometimes in a different energy than when they are doing it by choice, not because it's something they feel they have to do or that they need to do to feel okay. And so that kicks it into the qualitative piece. So maybe if you were having sex one or two nights less, but it had a different, you know, the quality of it was not so much, let's just do it and get it out of the way, but let's really have the time with each other. It might feel a little different and feel, sometimes it feels like even more, you know, when, like, you know, the expression less is more, but that's because of the quality
of it,
not so much the quantity of it. Yeah. And I say that to a lot of people. People very often get hung up on how much sex they're having and the quantity of it. And sex is about intimacy. It's about tenderness. It's about tuning in. It's about many things more than orgasm. Sometimes on a night where you're just exhausted, if you just cuddled or snuggled and connected on
Absolutely.
A physical level that way, or maybe gave each other a back rub and fell asleep in each other's arms, that would go
Dr.
the group.
Greer,
it
I'm
would,
with you.
Feel like, let me get this out of the way. You know?
Yeah, that's
well,
true.
Well,
that's
I mean,
true.
Maybe that for me, I said that we have, like, we do other things as well because we get so busy. And, you know, he could be doing his traveling or I'm doing my thing. The foreplay would be over the top, too. I'll be, you know, writing texts. So it's not, like, really physical or just – for me, if I know we have a big week, I'll just say I don't want to lose the component of me not being – of us not being ourselves because I know the next 2 weeks are going to be crazy and we're going to be working late, crazy hours. So I just – want him to think about something like this during that time. So it always works. So for me, in
so you can
that
turn that into a big hot period of foreplay, you know, with sexy texts and maybe a sexy picture or sexy anticipation or here's what we're going to do, you know, without having to go through the motions. As opposed to, you know, it's kind of like I'll keep you company and all right, I could have some coffee and a muffin, as opposed to let's go to dinner and both of you have an appetite and can really enjoy the meal together and have a 3-course meal.
Yeah,
that's true. Because what you were saying about the intimacy part, like what means a lot to me is when he's here and I lay my head on his chest and his arms are wrapped around me. You know, that means a lot more a lot of times than sex. So when, you know, we can't even get through a movie together. There's many nights I'm like, let's watch a movie. And we laugh because we're like, who's doing that? Who is going to actually make it? We have never made it through a movie together, laying in bed because we're both knocked out. But going to the point that Dr. Greer is making, when we do have our love making sections, you know, they are the bomb and they're fulfilling and they're wonderful and they're deep and passionate and all that other stuff. So the nights that we have those intentions, but it doesn't happen, I don't wake up the next day feeling slighted or rejected. You know, it's just like, oh, well, you know, we were tired. You know, we'll try again tonight or whenever.
And that's what matters most. You know, a lot of times I say to couples, schedule spontaneous sex. And they go, huh? What do you mean schedule spontaneous sex?
Right.
And I say, look, the truth of the matter is when you were first dating, he didn't just show up at your house. Anybody who just showed up or called you at the last minute, you said, I'm not going to see him again. You know, call me at least 3 nights in advance. Give me notice.
Right.
You planned your date. You got ready. And then you had a nice date and probably wound up in bed sleeping together. Well, that's the same thing when you're married. It's even more hectic when you're married. Why shouldn't you be planning when you're going to be together and scheduling time so that in that time you can spontaneously get it on? You know, as opposed to, all right, we're going to bed. Let's have sex. And everybody's falling asleep because they're wiped out.
Right. Yeah. Yes. That's
true. That is on a great note. So we're going to get into the next song right here on the Girlfriend Network. Calvin Harris, Frank Ocean, Nichols, and with Slide right here on the Girlfriend Network.
With no brain, I'm out of it.
Do you slide on all your nights like this? Do you try on all your nights like this? Put some spotlight on the slide. Oh, yeah. Whatever comes, comes too quick. Do you slide on all your nights like this? Do you try on all your nights like this? Put some spotlight on the slide.
every Thursday night. Tune in every Thursday night here on the Love Zone USA 8 to 10 and check out Mike T and producer Tony Diamond right here on the Love Zone USA. So welcome back, everyone. We're going to get back into the conversation with Dr. Greer. And thank you again, Dr. Greer, for tuning in and coming on this evening with this topic. Now, what happens, because I know we talked about the good scenarios, but what happens when it is a reality check that you just lost it in a relationship with this person? It's just not there anymore. How do you go about an exit strategy when something like that happens, where you're at that point where you're honest with yourself and your partner that, you know, it is just totally 100% bad?
Well, I think, you know, at that point, if things have really soured so much, then, and both people are really unhappy, the question is there anything that can be done to help you work through some of these difficulties and get back some of the old spark? So it would be a matter of one person saying, look, why don't we go, you know, how about we go for counseling and see if we can't, you know, work through some of these difficulties and agree either to stay together. Or if not, then maybe we should consider separating. So the first thing before you just, you know, say that's it, I'm done, is to really consider getting some help and looking for some counseling.
I agree.
Wow. So what happens if one person is not, you know, they're not fond of counseling, or, you know, they just don't want to take that avenue? Is there anything,
well,
do you have any suggestions what, you know, one partner can do in their home to get the other partner on the same page?
I think what I say to people is, you know, go on your own, go talk to a counselor, get some fortification and some support for yourself, because a lot of times, if one person starts to make changes, the other person has no option but to change along with them, or it change in response to them.
Mm-hmm.
So go first yourself and see what, you know, what's going on. Maybe you can learn to express to your partner where you're so resentful, or what's, you know, what's changed so much for you. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, why you're so unhappy. And if they still can't relate to you, I call it stepping back without stepping out. First, you start to go through the process of separating, because it's not just overnight. When you put a house on the market, you don't just sell it. First, you put the house on the market, then you get a realtor, then people come. First, you got to clean it out, then people look. So it's a process. And the same thing is true of ending a relationship. By the time one person says, I want a divorce, a lot of times, couples have been living as if they were divorced and separated already for a period of time. So it's not, you know, it's not coming out of the blue. But before you reach that point, being able to consider what could we do, you know, is the resentment too deep? Are the issues too intractable that we can't work them through at this point? And a lot of times just saying, you know, have we hit the end of the road, can become in and of itself a motivating force.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great advice. That's great advice. And we thank you so much
yes.
for being here
thank
with
you
us.
So much.
Dr. Greer, tell our listeners how they can find you if
thank
they
you.
Are in need of your services.
Well, first of all, I'm in New York City, and you can email me at drjanegreer@me.com, and you can go to my website www.drjanegreer.com.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us, and we'll have to have you back
thank
really
you,
soon because we got a lot of
yes.
issues and a lot of stuff we need to work out, Dr. Greer.
Thank you. Thank you for
feel
coming on.
With that situs and
yes,
take
I'm
care.
Trying to get it together. Thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
No,
have a great
easy.
Evening.
You
okay.
too. Bye bye now.
Good night, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next Monday.